This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest, meatiest center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. You're listening to the Best of America Tonight. Welcome to America Tonight. Sad news from Washington is John McCain has an aggressive form of a brain tumor, goes under the knife for that. He was in the hospital for something else when they discovered it. It was a clot, a blood clot. So the diagnosis is serious. A lot of Democrats and Republicans standing by his side and saying he's a fighter. He will beat this and don't bet against him and whatnot. He was, if you add up the numbers, reelected again for another time, 6 years in that Senate seat. Republicans also wondering about the future of their lock on the numbers because of this McCain diagnosis. Speaking of diagnosis, we know this by now, the health bill is dead in the Senate as far as the Republicans' version of it are concerned. And with that in mind, the CBO comes out with a new estimate saying 30 million Americans would lose their health insurance by 2026 if Obamacare is repealed without a replacement. And a Senate Majority Leader, Mitch McConnell, planned to hold a vote for a straight repeal of the ACA next week after a bill to repeal and replace collapsed on Monday with the Republicans pretty much divided. Yeah, a house divided, a house of cards on this one. So just to give you some more gobbledygook on this, some numbers in other words, according to the CBO, which I will remind you all as a nonpartisan office, 17 million Americans will lose health insurance in 2018 with a repeal. Premiums on individual plans would rise 25% next year and double by 2026. The president told 49 Republican senators at a White House lunch on Wednesday that he wanted more than a straight repeal. He kept saying, we're close, we're very close. He demanded that the lawmakers keep their campaign promises to repeal and replace Obamacare and find a new approach. After the lunch, McConnell said he's going to go ahead with a vote early next week to begin debate on a repeal of the ACA, despite indications it will fail after the defections on Tuesday of at least three Republican senators. Democrats are united in opposition to the repeal. McConnell can only lose two votes from the Republicans in the 52-48 majority in the 100-seat Senate to pass health care legislation. So unless something changes dramatically and there is some time, conversations, that's what it's about, who knows? But it's pretty much dead. We knew this heading into it, because it's about the numbers, right? It's about the numbers. That's it, right? And speaking of the numbers, there are some interesting numbers when it comes to the what the Wall Street Journal is saying the U.S. military is leasing in Trump Tower. They're saying the military is leasing the Trump Tower, a Trump Tower office, for $130,000 a month. Wouldn't it be great to have a spare $130,000 laying around? So that's what they shell out. And that's where he has yet to spend a night, Trump, since he's become president. But these lease documents from the General Service Administration, of course, they're public record, they say it was signed a $2.39 million, nearly 18-month lease to rent a 3,400 square foot space in the tower where the president and first lady Melania and son Barron live. That at that price, the space is the most expensive in the tower. The runner-up top dollar listing in Manhattan is $50,000 a month. The White House military office, separate from the Secret Service, provides service that the president must have access to because of, by law, of course, including medical, food, transportation, communication services, and also the nuclear football, if the president needs it, would be held there, too. So the name of the property owner is redacted on the contract. The GSA lease inventory lists the owner of the space in Trump Tower as Joel Anderson, a businessman originally from Alabama and a neighbor of Trump's in the building. Boy, that's interesting, isn't it? $130K. Wow, he's not even living there. Now, that is wasteful. Renting out property to the government, 260% of the going rate in a very costly real estate area. Good for the Perez, right? Because that would be where you would think he could spend some time. So they're going to, of course, go there versus where. That's the other part of the problem you have in Manhattan. So while all of this is going on, the president blasts Mueller and Comey in a New York Times interview. Let me tell you about this interview in case you didn't see it. It was a huge interview that dumped on Wednesday that really kind of rocked D.C. and up and down the East Coast. Trump told the Times that he would never have nominated Jeff Sessions as the country's top cop if he had known he would recuse himself from the Russia investigation. He said Sessions should have never done that. If he was going to do that, he should have told me before he took the job and I would have picked someone else. That recusal led to the appointment of the special counsel, Robert Mueller, to head the investigation into whether Russia attempted to influence the presidential election. The investigation is expected to look into whether the president's son, Don Trump Jr., acted improperly in meeting with a Russian lawyer during the campaign who said she had dirt on Hillary Clinton. So that's one angle of that. And the president said, listen, Jeff Sessions gave some bad answers. He gave answers that were simple questions and should have had simple answers, but they weren't. So he criticized him for the testimony he gave during his confirmation hearing. Sessions told the panel he had not met with any Russians during the campaign, even though he had met twice with Russian Ambassador Sergei Kiss of Death Kislyak, because he's been the kiss of death for this administration. So also in the Times article, Trump was critical of James Comey, the former FBI director. Remember, he booted him in May, saying Comey tried to use a fake dossier on Trump to hold his job. He said, in my opinion, he shared it, so I would think he had it out there. And he said, when he brought it to me, I said, this is really made up of junk. I didn't think anything about it. I just thought about the man. This is such a phony deal. Comey later said he shared the information privately with Trump after his election because the document had been circulating. The gray lady strikes again. Pretty interesting. Hang with us.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Oh, strike my brain. Oh, strike my brain.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. You're listening to the best of America Tonight.
Oh, strike my brain.
Kate Delaney, America Tonight. So to re-rack here, John McCain with a brain tumor, very aggressive type. And then you got the Prez throwing a lot of shade on Jeff Sessions especially. How does he stay in that gig with what he had to say in the New York Times? Big stuff. The health care vote for the Senate, not going anywhere. The numbers aren't there. Although try as they will. That gets thrown up. I don't see anything changing. O.J. Simpson in the news again because he's got a hearing, a parole hearing, 1 o'clock Eastern. Television networks are going to interrupt the presidency, anything else that's going on, to revisit something that really captivated the nation for too long of a time, in my opinion. All of them are going to be there at a parole hearing at a Nevada prison. He's looking to get out after more than 8 years locked up for armed robbery and assault. CBS is live streaming the hearing on its digital news affiliates. Simpson's trial in California for the 94 murders of his wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and her friend Ronald Goldman was a television obsession, a must-watch TV deal for how long? For more than 2 decades. So he was acquitted, but he was imprisoned for trying to steal sports collectibles this second time around. And then interest was revived with the FX miniseries that I mentioned, The People versus O.J. Simpson, and the documentary on ESPN, O.J. Made in America. And who knows where that goes? We will have to wait and see, taking that, once again, taking that pose, striking that pose, that that is what happens. You can't predict parole boards, except for that it would almost make no sense to keep him locked up based on what happened, and of course, based on the fact of just flat out room in prison. So the parole bid, will it be derailed or no? Does he get out? That's going to be the question that's going to loom everywhere tomorrow. A lot of conversation already about it, and that conversation will continue, definitely. A lot of people complaining about the heat everywhere. In the Big Apple, they're complaining big time, 90-plus degree temperatures, the heat index where it feels like 100. And when you get 3 or 4 days in a row like that, you get some angry New Yorkers. So they're waiting for that mercury to dip. Join the party. How about the rest of us? We certainly understand that's part of the whole summertime deal, right? In most places, we are sweating. There is sweltering heat. There are exceptions. Alaska, of course, being one of them. Some of the other regions where you may enjoy cooler temperatures, it depends. Like in Michigan, some places in the Midwest, you get lucky, and it's not quite as hot as what we feel in other places in the United States. My favorite is when people try to classify heat. You know, you grew up in a certain kind of area, and then you say you're going to the desert, and they say, oh, well, it's a dry heat. Or you go to some place where it's kind of swampy. Oh, people complain about the humidity, but it's not that bad. It's not that bad. Just because your whole neck and body is sweating, it's not that bad. Nobody likes it, right? Nobody likes it. And it is the common denominator. There are just certain things we all talk about, and weather is definitely one of them. Weather, kids, dogs, absolutely. You pull up to Philip, and somebody's talking about the weather. At least I know that's happened to me. It seems like any conversation, whether it's on an elevator, lately too, on an elevator, filling up, any of that, it seems to turn toward the weather. And when the weather is extreme, of course, that conversation makes sense. If you're getting smashed with tsunamis and horrific, meaning I'm exaggerating, but horrible rainstorms, that's going to be the conversation, whatever the extreme is. I don't know, is this extreme? There is a Florida school district that is eliminating traditional homework for all elementary school students this year, instead asking that they read for 20 minutes each night. Wow. The new policy kicks in when the students return to school, and it's in Florida's Marion County. It's this ongoing debate over the benefits and drawbacks of homework, especially for younger students. Now, this policy won't apply to students in middle school and high school. The new superintendent for this county school district said she made the policy based on research showing that reading boosts academic performance for younger students, while traditional homework might not, that this is a better alternative. Isn't that interesting? You know, there's some that, there's a Duke University psychology professor, his name is Harris Cooper, who said he found evidence of a positive correlation between homework and student achievement, but the correlation was strongest for students in 7th through 12th. And that for younger students, there was a weak relationship between homework and performance. So he said last year that he recommends a small amount of homework for young students, but there are other education experts that are pushing for the no homework policies. Be interesting to see, and we will at the end of the school year. It'd be fun to have somebody on and see, because a lot of people will be watching, to see if it works. If it works, then they've stumbled onto something. But the numbers would have to be pretty convincing. It's not a bad idea, right? Certainly not for the middle school or the high school, and they're not doing that. So for the younger students, it could be excellent, encouraging the reading and teaching them how to learn, perhaps, in a stronger way. That makes sense to me. It makes sense to me because, of course, the better you are with vocabulary, words, all of that, understanding, I would think that could lead to strengthening everything else around it. It to me, it makes complete sense that the one would correlate to the, you know, to the other. Definitely. This is a quick follow-up because we did the story last week and I got a ton of email on this very thing. But Kermit the Frog, you know, the actor who was Kermit forever, was fired because of unacceptable business conduct. And Matt Vogel is replacing Steve Whitmire as the voice of Kermit the Frog. Whitmire said he had been fired back in October and said that their decision to part ways was a result of his business. What specifics are is that Whitmire shared a blog post hinting his devotion to maintaining Jim Henson's legacy led to the decision. He confirms it in an interview with The Hollywood Reporter where he attributed his firing to a union disagreement. That's what it is. And the first issue was with a small group of top creative people during the ABC miniseries. He said he had been outspoken about what's best for the Muppets since the Muppets came to Disney. But, you know, Kermit, of course, was originally voiced by Henson until his death in 1990. Whitmire, who had been working in some capacity with the Muppets since 1978, took over then at that point. And the Muppet Studio is not releasing any response to any of this. He was there for a very, very long time. And obviously, there was probably more to this story. And that's why this is being shut down in a couple of different areas on both sides because, you know, you want to make sure if you're going to go hard and fast, you want to make sure you can really line up that evidence, if you know what I mean. And it is the court of public opinion, and people move on, and now there's a new voice. We'll see how that goes. Forbes Books at Bedtime next.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. Call 800-281-4224. 800-281-4224. 800-281-4224. That's 800-281-4224.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, Peter Picaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together.
people who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
This is Kate Delaney. You're listening to the best of America Tonight.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
What a pleasure to welcome to the show someone who I think is, stellar when it comes to this field. And it's clinic forensic psychologist Dr. John Huber. And I'm telling you, when we talk about mental health, Dr. John and I have talked about mental health from all different angles. And here for these purposes, we're going to talk about colleges that can't meet the demand, the student need for mental health. Dr. John, how are you?
I'm doing amazing this morning, Kate. How are you?
I'm excellent. So here's the question. This is such a big topic. Why is it that we have these institutions that seemingly can raise money and have a lot of assets that they could pull in? Why is there a problem that the colleges, in a broad sense, can't meet the student needs?
Well, you know, from the college's perspective, it's just kind of an expenditure, and they don't get much from that. You know, they're there to make money, even if they're nonprofit. If they don't pay their bills, they don't pay their bills. So it looks like an expensive overhead, but in the last 2 years, we've had almost a 50% increase in mental health issues across the board in this country with our entering college freshmen. So it seems like it's about time that they do something about that. But there's a lot of other statistics that play into it. There's research that shows there's a relationship with students going to outside services being more successful in college than if they go to college services on campuses. Not because they're not good services, but there's a fear that the college itself wants to try and weed them out if they find out that they have mental health issues.
Yeah, so let me give you some numbers. According to the Center for Collegiate Mental Health at Penn State University, They gathered info from 139 institutions. The number of students seeking help jumped 50% between 2015 and 2016. And of those students who looked for help, 26% said they had intentionally hurt themselves. Geez, 33.2% had considered suicide. Numbers way higher than the previous year. So why the dramatic boost, this overnight increase in these numbers, it almost seems like?
Well, I think what's happening is we've got a lot of kids who have been overprotected. You know, those little arguments that 3- and 4-year-olds have fighting over toys, it's important for parents to let them go as long as they can, because they're learning really what appears to be insignificant, but in the long run it is significant, really minute techniques in how to communicate and how to negotiate. And a lot of our students are also hit in the field, and they've looked at what's happened with the job markets over the last, you know, 8-10 years, and they're concerned. I'm spending all this money, or their parents are spending all this money, and what are they going to have to show for it? And is this college going to be that quote-unquote safe place, because mom and dad aren't going to be there to protect them from the struggles? One study we looked at shows that it's partially a result of some of these non-competitive sports where everybody gets a trophy for just showing up, and they never learn to deal with conflict.
Have you ever seen a rapid rise in the demand for mental health care like this before? Is this a unique blip, or is this kind of blip common in your field?
It's not common, actually. This is unique. It's an anomaly, and it's really, I mean, if you just look at suicide rates, we're talking, you know, 20% for millennials versus the next highest are the baby boomers at 16%. And you're thinking that's only 4 points. That's a huge leap in statistical data. If you're talking about, we have 330, 345 million people in this country, those 4 points, that's a large number.
And are you seeing this kind of rise in other populations, or is it unique just to college students?
All the research right now we're seeing is directly with college students, but, you know, in my practice, I'm seeing it there too. At the same time, though, I'm finding, in fact, I have some millennials working for me who are just amazing people that, you know, they do deal with conflict really well. So there are still some solid ground out there, and we've got a good population to pick from, and I think we're going to be resilient and come through this. It's just how we proceed when we have such heavy demand on our mental health services that are really lacking out there.
So how would you say, what would you offer as suggestions to proceed to try to tackle this?
Well, for current parents and things like that, you know, I encourage them to get their kids out and get them to do things that challenges them. A lot of group activities make them learn to work together with other human beings and realize that not everybody's going to like everything you put on Facebook. In other words, get them involved in sports, group activities, camping, and you know, my kids, for example, they love getting on the computer, but one of the things they did when they were younger, now we control it through our Wi-Fi, but when they were younger, we would give them a 13-digit password that we would change every night, and they would have to go do math in the morning before they could get on. And so they have to learn to work for something. Just don't expect the world to be given to you.
We're talking with Dr. John Huber. He's an Austin-based clinical forensic psychologist. His website is mainstreammentalhealth.org, mainstreammentalhealth.org. On Twitter, he's mainstream. Is this right? Mainstream, M-E-N-T-L, mainstream mental,
yes.
On Twitter. You know, it's interesting. I'm not going to use any names here, but a friend of mine, he and his wife separated and then divorced when their daughter was, I think, a junior in high school. She just graduated from high school. Although I have heard all of this from the father's perspective, it sounds to me like the mother has alienated the daughter from the father. And now that the daughter has graduated, so there's become this real sort of what to me sounds like an unhealthy dependence of the daughter on the mother that includes breaking the bond with the father. And now the daughter is going away, moving 2,000 miles away to go to college. And guess what? mom is moving to Denver with her, and they're getting an apartment and going to live together. Now, I've never met mom or the daughter, but when dad told me this, I was horrified for that poor young girl. Let her go have a life, mom. Is that part of what we're talking about here?
That's part of what we're talking about here. And, you know, I work on a lot of divorce cases, and unfortunately, this is not the first time I've heard this. And, you know, kids need same-age peers to be their best friends. Mom and dad need to be mom and dad. And that means setting limits and teaching them how to function. When your kids are, you know, 25, 30 years old, you can become their best friend. Right now, they need to go out, and their best friends should be same-age peers or in that range.
So it's interesting to me. We're talking about this from two perspectives, and I think one we should come back to. One is just the fact that this population is having all of these troubles with mental health, and then we need to get back to the cost of it. I mean, for colleges and universities, this must be a huge burden, both in terms of paying for the cost, because usually students get health care from their college or university, right, of this nature. But I would also think that there's a huge PR or reputation cost. If I'm running a university, I don't want parents and future students to think, come to my college or university and have mental, that we're actually making kids sick. It sounds like the problem is much bigger than just the sickness itself.
Right. And it's not, you know, you and I know that it's not the colleges making them sick. It's just now they have an opportunity because that gatekeeper who's protected that student from ever having adversity and challenges is not there. And the colleges, you're right, they don't want to say, hey, we have the biggest mental health department, you know, for our students of all the colleges in this state. You know,
but if I'm running a college or university and the statistic comes out that suicide rates at colleges are skyrocketing or depression rates at colleges and universities are skyrocketing, the perception is going to be that going to college is making kids suicidal.
Oh, it's a catch-22. You know, they're in a rock and a hard place. You know, if they go and do it, they're admitting they have problems. But then if they don't do it, then they can sit there and deny that they have any problems. And, you know, I've been approached by organizations who want to go onto campuses and provide, for example, sober environments for students who maybe don't know how to deal with the challenges of alcohol and drugs. And they've shown me letters from university presidents saying, oh, no, we have a counseling center. We don't need you.
Wow.
And that's pretty scary.
It is scary. So here's a big question. How would we know if anyone listening to this, if someone in their life was in need of mental health care, what tips could you throw out, Dr. John, that could help to approach a friend or a family member who might be in need?
Well, one of the things I look for is all of a sudden somebody who used to be involved and outgoing, or at least within the group, were involved with activities, and all of a sudden they make up lame excuses for why they can't go. They seem to be sleeping all the time, or on the other side, not sleeping at all. It can go either way. The same thing with food. You can eat too much or eat too little. And probably a big red flag is they start giving away prized possessions. If those are happening, if you know the family, if you have a history with the kids' parents, let the parents know your concerns. If you're living in a dorm, there are resident assistants who are trained to deal with this. Go and let them know. In fact, I worked with several of them, five or six resident assistants this summer earlier, on talking about and finding what's going on with these kids without making them feel like, you know, they're getting interrogated by the FBI. Because you don't want to chase the kids off. If they're having these struggles, they need help. And it's important that we try to teach them appropriate social interventions. If they're out there actually saying, hey, I want to end it all, I'm ready to die, you know, you need to take action. Call 911, tell the police, or tell the dispatcher on the phone, hey, this person is threatening suicide. And let professionals handle it. Don't try to be the savior.
All right, clinic forensic psychologist Dr. John Huber. You can check the website out at mainstreammentalhealth.org. Dr. Huber, thanks so much.
Thank you so much, and y'all have an amazing afternoon.
you become addicted? A friend? Were you at a party and someone said, hey, try this? Then you got the cold sweats and started shaking. And the more you did it, the more it didn't work. So you switched to the needle. Now you're a train wreck. Drinking, drugging, broke. Your family hates you. And you hate you. Get out of your hell on earth now. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline today for immediate help. In many cases, your insurance may cover the costs. We can't guarantee it, but we can guarantee we have what you need to change your life for the better. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. That's 855-700-2979.
Ralph, remember when you said you were going to start paying more attention to your health and now you're eating potato chips?
Just a few.
A few, okay, but you should be eating Superberries Aronia Berries.
Aronia what?
Aronia Berries from Superberries.com. They're known for having one of the highest levels of antioxidants that helps with overall wellness. Go to Superberries.com/radio. And right now we get a free smoothie recipe book with our order. Plus we can save $4 at checkout.
Wow, look at all the benefits of these berries.
I know, Ralph, I know.
Choose health. Eat purple. Superberries.com.
A great president once said, the 9 most feared words in the English language. I am from the government and I'm here to help. Adequacy of loss absorbing capacity. You call that help? That's the mandate approved by the G20. The banks can steal your money. Well, they can't steal your gold and silver that you fully control. You can have it delivered into an IRA at a depository under lock and key, where you can hide it where no one can find it, not even your wife.
What?
Sorry, honey. Your CDs, money market accounts, and savings accounts are all at risk. Call GSI Exchange at 800-474-9159. We have 75 years of market experience. A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau. 800-474-9159. Call now and get a free bank failure survival guide. 800-474-9159.
Lifetime grazed 100% grass-fed beef has the health benefits you seek. When compared to conventional beef, it offers good fats while virtually eliminating the bad. That's the result of cattle who never eat grain, ever. Rich in antioxidants, including vitamin E, C, beta-carotene, and CLA. No artificial hormones, antibiotics, or other drugs. For all our fresh, non-cooked products with only 100% grass-fed beef, go to MidasResources.com. Use voucher code GCN to get 30% off your order. MidasResources.com or find us on Facebook.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. You're listening to the best of America Tonight.
Interesting times of what we're talking about here in this country in this edition of For Your Health. Autism, in fact, there's a new character on Sesame Street that has autism, which I think is great because so many people are living with autism, dealing with autism, and the more we understand, the better. We have Paul Loudon with us. He's got a new book out called Behind the Locked Door, Understanding My Life as an Autistic. Author of this new book, Paul Loudon, understands personally what this is like as an autistic adult. So, Paul, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
All right, so let's go back to the beginning and realizing and understanding autism and wanting to share your story. First of all, what made you want to share your story?
It sort of happened by chance. It started as the person I was working with to help improve my symptoms and my situation. She had a radio show, and she invited me in as a guest with the intent to trick me into co-hosting it with her, which led to me learning and practicing talking about it. And it just sort of became a realization that I was more verbal than a lot of us on the spectrum and more able to explain things than a lot of us on the spectrum. And so it became clear that this was just something that I had an opportunity to do. I was in the right situation, and I really wanted to try to help people understand better some of the things we struggle with.
Yeah, so when you were a kid, when were you diagnosed with autism?
I was diagnosed at 23, so not a kid
wow.
at all.
Wow. Yeah, not a kid. Yeah. So that means your family. So growing up, did you realize something was different? Did they realize something was different? I mean, that had to be difficult.
So a variety of factors played into my late diagnosis. One, I'm 34 now, so it was a decent amount of time ago. I was born in 1983. By the time I was, you know, an adolescent, it was more of the ADD craze, and I did get diagnosed with that. Before that, though, we also moved around a lot. My dad worked in oil, so we were overseas and then back in the U.S., and then overseas again and back in the U.S. And so while I was struggling with social things and a variety of other things, there was always that element of, well, you know, he's just left all of his friends behind, and he's having to make new friends and meet new people and get used to living in a house with a wall around it or whatever. You know, there was always those elements. So it wasn't really until high school when we'd settled back in the States, and particularly when I left to try to go to college and things started falling apart, that we realized that something was seriously wrong and just how seriously wrong it was. And then, fortunately enough, at about 21 or 22, I stumbled across an article about autism and particular Asperger's. And from reading that article, it gave me inspiration to go and consult with a neuropsychologist and seek diagnosis.
And what did the neuropsychologist tell you about the spectrum and Asperger's and all of that?
Honestly, not much. What I worked with her on was just the testing. So go in, parents go in and talk about her history. I take a variety of tests. Some of them are standard IQ tests, things like that. Other ones are ones focused more on autism. And then I got a diagnosis in the mail just telling me, you've got Asperger's. And from there, it was largely about research on my own, trying to learn more about it, read about other people's experiences with it, and try to spend a lot of time learning about myself and how I experience the world.
So in finding that diagnosis out, getting that in the mail, Asperger's, like you said, finding out more about yourself, what are the things that you have to battle as somebody who has Asperger's?
Well, first, I do prefer to just say I have autism now because the Asperger's diagnosis has been removed in the latest edition of the DSM, and I feel that's generally for the better in helping people recognize that it is one disorder and that those of us who may be higher functioning still often have significant challenges. I have severe challenges with self-management and motivation. I have a hard time upkeeping my living space, regularly paying bills. I regularly lost jobs just because I was a very extremely literal person, and so I actually read the employee handbook, and I would contradict my boss on things when he got things wrong, and that, you know, technically correct is not the good kind of correct, despite what Futurama may say. So there were a lot of issues all along the way, and so between that, some comorbid conditions, I have gut issues and things like that. I have sensory issues in particular relating to sound. So I've got a whole range of symptoms that provide me with struggles in day-to-day life.
You talk about communication. What parts of communication are challenging for people with autism?
One of the big things is that with autism, we're typically seen by people who don't have autism as missing a lot of things, that we don't pick up on, you know, facial expressions, body language, tone of voice. But we also tend to not use that as much ourselves, and we often feel that other people are missing carefully chosen words or very clear to us statements. And so it's sort of a two-way street where we communicate in a different way than the people around us do in many cases, but it's a situation where if we're in a room full of autistic people, support group or whatever, we often find that we feel pretty comfortable because the people around us communicate like we do. So a lot of times it's the implied communication, be it something like sarcasm or tone of voice or something like, you know, gee, that garbage can sure looks full, meaning would you mind taking out the garbage without actually saying it? And so there's a whole host of things that we tend to miss in communication, but we also feel like people misinterpret our communication in ways that we find surprising. For example, I might say, I don't like McDonald's hamburgers. Now, to a typical person, that means the same thing as I dislike McDonald's hamburgers, but I might just mean it as saying, you know, I'll eat them, but they aren't on my list of things I actively seek out. You know, it's not a dislike, it's just also not a like. So I might be extremely technical in how I say things that people don't get, and that can often lead to someone being insulted or interpreting a statement as more negative than it is. And so there's a lot of conflicts of communication that benefit from both sides understanding that the other side communicates differently.
Oh, so agree with that. Powerful what you just said. What kind of advice would you offer up to parents to understand a little bit better a child who is autistic? Because, I mean, we know that that's a big struggle.
One of the biggest pieces of advice I give is that if they're communicating at all, be it verbal, be it nonverbal, such as actions or even just random sounds, place as much trust as you can in them, even if it doesn't make any sense to you. If they say, you know, that hurts, don't say, oh, come on, it's just a little, because sensory issues mean that it could feel a lot more severe to them in terms of hurting or being bright or being loud than it does to you. And so a lot of times, you run into this situation where as you experience things, people keep telling you, oh, it's not a big deal, or I believe you can do it, and then you fail at it. You start to lose faith in your own decision-making process. It can be hard to trust yourself when no one around you trusts you. So wherever you can, trust their experiences and try to solve problems in ways that validate their expression of what they experienced with that problem.
Yeah, again, great advice. So you know this, the FDA is trying to find some insight from people with autism, so you would be one of those people. And given that, what would you tell them about treatments? And you've been talking about it, what you've done yourself, but what kind of treatments would you say the FDA should look at?
You know, one of the things that has helped me personally the most, I struggled a lot with depression, and when I finally found the right medication for my depression, it also helped with my anxiety somewhat. And I discovered that a lot of times I was spending 10, 20, 30% of my energy on managing anxiety, which meant that I only had 70% on dealing with additional stuff from autism, and then additional stuff from autism would increase my anxiety, making it even harder. And so as I got my anxiety under control, my ability to deal with some of my autism struggles, things that would normally bother me dramatically, like if someone at a nearby table had their children watching videos without headphones, it used to make me so tense and so stressed that I'd be doing everything to get out of the restaurant as soon as I can. I'd be like, okay, I want to pay my bill, I want to leave, I need to get someplace more in my control. And now it's just sort of like, eh, it happens. So I found that a lot of times what helps, and I've heard this from other people, is treating not the autism, but the other conditions that often go along with it. You know, if they have gut issues, finding out if a dietary solution can help with that, pay attention to nutrition issues, pay attention to any other comorbid symptoms. Seizures are common in individuals with autism, subclinical seizures. So you don't even see them happening, but they can cause someone to appear to, you know, lose the idea mid-sentence and stare off into the distance or whatever, where it's the brain has a seizure internally that doesn't show up as the stereotypical physical expression of a seizure that a lot of people think of. So there's a lot of comorbid conditions with autism, and I think that, you know, while we don't really have a good idea for medications to treat autism itself, there's a lot that goes along with it that we can treat that can really help people struggling with autism be more comfortable and then better able to interact with their therapist, their therapy, their family, their educators, anyone around them in more positive and constructive ways.
All right, great place to end this. Great stuff. Paul Loudon, the book is Behind the Locked Door, Understanding My Life as an Autistic. Pick it up. I'm assuming, Paul, people can get it on Amazon, right?
Absolutely. People can get it on Amazon or loudononautism.com. To find out more about me and see some of my videos and blog posts.
Great. Paul, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Are you one of the 15 million men who suffer from an enlarged prostate? If your life revolves around finding the closest bathroom, if you're tired of waking up many times a night to urinate, then you need to know about Prostate Miracle. Prostate Miracle contains beta-cytosterol, which is 3,000 times stronger than salt palmetto. To claim your $10 Patriot discount, go to ProstateMiracle.com and enter promo code PATRIOT. Or call 877-965-2140. That's 877-965-2140.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to LibertyOnCall.org. That's LibertyOnCall.org.